FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 2/22/17, whatever that means. But coming ahead, right ahead, is the Ides of March, which has all sorts of significance. That was the day that Caesar was killed. It was actually a prophecy, and that's where the term beware of the Ides of March came from. And with us now to explain the more modern contemporary significance for this year is Andrew Hoffman. Andy, welcome.
Oh, thank you. It seems like the Ides are coming around every single day with all the incredible things going on in the world.
Oh, incredible indeed. Not to mention all of the natural disasters taking place. It's like a convergence, a harmonic convergence. Pretty soon I expect aliens to just land on the steps of the White House the way things are going.
I think they already have.
You know, you have a point. You have a point there. But craziness just breaking out all over the place. And, you know, where do we start?
Well, you know, we titled this The Ides of March for a reason. Again, everyone knows I call what we see every day, the PM bullish, everything else bearish headlines, or formerly known as horrible headlines. And there's going to be a bunch of them as this whole Trumpflation meme, which is based only on market rigging. I mean, let's put this into perspective. We're talking about the biggest surge in stock market history, as far as, you know, like 50 days in a row without a 1% decline, and now a year without a 5% decline. We haven't even had a 1% intraday decline in like 2 or 3 months right now, all based on, honestly, the most ridiculous, I guess this word meme again, ever, that Trump is going to all of a sudden change everything. And again, I mean, how much more can we emphasize the fact that we spent all of last summer, where anytime Trump was expected, anything good happened in his campaign, you know, gold surged and stocks got smashed. And when he actually got elected unexpectedly, that's exactly what happened, until miraculously a few hours later, it all turned around. And all of a sudden, you know, the old Hillary is good for stocks and bad for gold turned into Trump is good for stocks and bad for gold. And it's, I mean, we've seen a dislocation of even, you know, the historic, epic manipulation of markets that we've seen for years, but a total dislocation, a new plateau starting at the election time, when I think the desperation of the powers that be in realizing that Trump's victory really derailed their plans to just go berserk. And as a result, we've now created the biggest bubble in history, in stock market history. Like I saw yesterday, the NASDAQ is now officially more overbought technically than at the top of the dot-com bubble, if anyone can remember. I mean, think about it. No one's even in the stock market right now. No one even watches CNBC, whereas at the top of the bubble, everyone was in and everyone was buying and everyone was watching CNBC. That just shows you how much market rigging has been put into this top. We have all-time high valuations, price to sales, enterprise value to EBITDA, price to earnings, if you use real accounting for the earnings, especially if you realize that earnings per share are, the quality is so low because it's mostly a matter of companies borrowing money to buy back shares and thus increase earnings per share. And of course, the economies of the world is falling apart and the political regime change. And we have record valuations and record valuations of bonds when you have record debt and record deficit spending and currency and trade wars going on. And at the same time, they've held gold and silver down when you have record demand and now you have falling production and record low above ground available for sale inventories at a time when the money printing is exploding in the world. I mean, look, the euro this morning is within basis points of a new 15-year low. To get to the point of why we call this the Ides of March, because we are coming upon a time where this whole honeymoon at the beginning of the year at the top of this epic bubble ends when the events, when the actions of the real world starts to kick in, particularly on March 15th.
Yeah, that's it, huh? That's the magic date.
Well, it's a date where two very, very significant events occur. The first being, and again, everyone forgets about all this stuff. They forget that we had the, you know, remember when the U.S. had its debt rating stripped from credit rating from AAA back in August of 2011. And that was when gold hit its all-time high in U.S. dollars, not in other currencies, but in U.S. dollars. And that was when the U.S. debt ceiling was only $14.1 trillion, and we had a debt ceiling crisis. $14.1 trillion, just 5.5 years ago. We're now $6 trillion above that. And so anyway, before this election, a year or two ago, the Democrats led an effort to suspend the debt ceiling so they could run it up as much as they could into the election. But that ends on March 15th when it gets frozen into place. And it'll be at roughly $20.1 trillion. And this is just at the same time that Trump is going to have to go to Congress and start lobbying for this ridiculous unfunded tax cut to pay for things like building bridges and walls and trade wars and rebuilding the world's largest military. This is when he's going to be asking for this. And this is at a time when he's already alienated so much of Congress. That is the ones that didn't hate him for being an outsider beforehand, that it's going to be impossible to get anything done anyway. And of course, you can't even have tax reform if you don't have a budget. And there hasn't been a budget for 5 years, and there's no budget this year, and there's not going to be a budget. And now you're going to have this historic debt ceiling issue coming at a time where he thinks he's going to get some fiscal stimulus plan in place. So that's on our side of the pond. The other side of the pond is, oh yeah, Europe is on the verge of collapse, and that's going to be the first big election. That's going to be the Dutch prime ministerial election. And this guy, Geert Wilders, who is, I think he's got like 95% odds of winning, so he's already won, and he wants out of the euro. In fact, he's not just anti-immigration, he's like kind of a bigoted anti-Muslim racist. Right. So I think you're going to really start seeing the passions of revolution in Europe start upon that election. And that's before the big kahuna, just a month later in France. We're at the point now where, I mean, it's amazing. They say she's only got 30% odds of winning, which, by the way, is twice the odds they gave Trump and the Brexit of winning. But I just was writing about it today. She's now ahead of the polls. The guy who's number two in the polls is embroiled in this huge embezzlement scandal, and he's named Fillon. Yeah. And it's funny because I was writing about Fillon today, F-I-L-L-O-N, and when I spell checked it, it requested Felon. So anyway, he's number two. The number three guy, his polling numbers fell like 6 percentage points this week alone. And then the number four and five guys are like getting together, seeing if they can put their campaigns together. The point is,
good luck.
This is going to be a landslide that's going to make the Trump thing look like nothing. And she is out. She says, first thing I do is I don't want a Frexit. I want out of the euro entirely. And that is going to destroy the European Union. And as we were talking about before, the Ides of March is, when Caesar got killed. Well, that's going to sow the seeds for the death of Italy as we know it now, because their snap elections are going to have to be announced soon, especially because Matteo Renzi just resigned this weekend. And the Five Star Movement, which is ahead in the polls, is going to win that election too and request to get out of the euro.
Yeah, we know this is happening. I mean, I hate to admit it, I'm on record as saying that Marine Le Pen is going to win. I mean,
me too.
Geert Wilders, for a while, it's been obvious that he's going to win. And look what's happening in Sweden now. I mean, they come down on Trump for saying, look what happened in Sweden the other day. And then the next day, they've got massive riots all over the country. Even the Swedes, who appear to be the most, submissive people on the planet, even they are fed up, right?
Yeah,
and they've had enough.
The immigration issue is the biggest issue facing Europe right now. And I said it when we went into the Brexit. First, I put out an article like a few weeks beforehand. Again, I was one of the only people who was saying it would pass. Yeah. And I said, everyone should watch that movie. I forgot the documentary about why the EU is so detrimental to UK. But then I put out another one. I think it was called, if you think that's the real reason or whatever. And I highlighted Stefan Molyneux's amazing podcast about immigration. Then I realized, oh, that is the biggest issue. And since then, I've spent all this time focusing in my research efforts on all this stuff. And immigration is just destroying Europe, especially a country like France, where they're literally taking over. And, you know, the biggest reason for this is the crash in oil prices, which is why the oil PPT was created this year to try to save the oil price, particularly because Saudi Arabia, which is literally on the verge of bankruptcy, they need to sell Saudi Aramco next year. They want to do a $100 billion IPO. And if they can't do it, they're going to have to cut back their spending dramatically, and it's going to be a major. And of course, they'll ramp up production of oil like crazy to take their market share back. It'll be a cataclysm if the oil price falls, and everyone knows it. And the oil price is going to fall because we're in an historical low. But the point is, in all these Middle East nations, there has been major cutbacks, and there's going to be a lot more cutbacks. So you have all these immigrants that are leaving the Middle Eastern nations, not to mention the ones like that we created all these war zones in, like Iran, Iraq, and Syria. And where are they going? They're going to Europe. And so this anti-immigration, the immigrants have been overwhelming the populations, the cultures, the economies of these places. And it's going to keep going and going and going. And it created the Brexit. It's going to create the Frexit. And now you're seeing in places where you wouldn't believe. Everyone's like, oh, Sweden, it's such a peaceful place. Well, it's happening in Sweden, too. It's happening everywhere. And it's going to sow the seeds of revolution in the coming years. And actually, you know, I was reading today. It's so weird because obviously this, you know, Schäuble, the guy who's the horrible, evil finance minister of Germany, the one who's like destroyed Greece. And he holds himself out as this big conservative when all he does is print money. You know, he called this guy Schultz, who's running against Merkel and is now leading Merkel. No one ever heard of Schultz. And Schäuble comes in and goes, he's the Trump of Germany. And I'm, you know, because he thinks that it's going to get votes because like everyone hates Trump, which obviously they don't because he won the presidency. Right. But I'm reading about this guy. He's like the Hillary Clinton of Germany. He's like worse than Merkel is. He's proposing this guy. Think about what's going on in Germany and the reason why Merkel is in trouble. All the immigration issues that they're having over there. This guy is proposing that immigrants in Germany should be able to vote, even if they're not citizens. I mean, Germany is going to be a very dangerous place, in my opinion. I think people are focusing right now on France and the unrest there and some other parts of Europe. But I have a feeling that Germany, which is the linchpin of the Europe and all that, is going to be a major, major hotspot of political change very soon.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. They're just going to rise up, you know. There's a limit to how much people are going to take. And they
too are being oppressed by the euro in a different way. I mean, it's because they're trying to hold it up like Atlas. They're trying to hold up this collapsing entity that they created, and they can't do it. And people like Merkel and Schultz want to keep doing it. And it's going to be no different than the UK, where people like David Cameron, and his buddy Barack Obama were trying to hold the EU together, and they can't do it. And the Germans have a history of not taking too well to things going badly. So I have a feeling that, you know, I mean, I'll put it on record now. 12 months from now, we don't have a European Union. Certainly not the same European Union, because there's just 6 months from now when the French and the German and probably Italian elections are done. And that little wild card called the Catalonian secession, which is scheduled for a final vote in September, I believe. And then the guy said, we get 50.1%, we are out. So, you know, when all that stuff is said and done, 6 or 9 months from now, you're going to see an entirely different world. And that's why it's so funny when people go. And again, I've written now 4 articles over the past 3 years called If a Nuclear Bomb Destroyed Europe, you know, trying to, again, break the most ridiculous propaganda of all, that the strong dollar index is bad for gold, especially because it's proven to not be true. Just like higher interest rates is proven to not be bad for gold, but they just throw out this propaganda endlessly. That is only if rates go up. If rates go down, then they say that's bad for gold too.
Yeah, everything is bad for gold.
Right. You know, what's his name? Hillary and Trump, they're both good for stocks and bad for gold. Everything's good for stocks and bad for gold. But my point is with the dollar index in these articles, if a nuclear bomb destroyed Europe, Europe, the equivalent of a financial nuclear bomb is destroying Europe, which is the collapse of the euro. The euro is within basis points, as we speak, of a new 14-year low. I mean, we're talking about massive inflation. And at a time when the ECB is massively ramping up QE to unprecedented levels, saying that there's no inflation. And so you're going to see, as I've said all along, all these currencies crash first, particularly the euro. And the euro is going to fall and fall and fall. It's going to go way below parity. And the dollar index is going to rise as a result because the euro is 60% of the currency basket. And gold's going to rise with it. Yeah. Of course it's going to, because there's more people using the euro than there are using the dollar.
Yeah. 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 Well, this is all the wonderful things we have to look forward to. And yeah, who would have thought, huh? Who would have thought?
We would have thought. Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't have thought...
that it would take this much time, you know?
Certainly not that. And you never know what the catalysts are going to be. I mean, the world changes so quickly, but it was so obvious. I mean, it was obvious. I shouldn't say it was obvious when I got into the sector, which 2 months from now will be 15 years. I had completely different views of why I was in the sector and what would happen. But if you go back to, pick a point in time, the financial crisis in 2008, it was blindingly obvious that the end game had arrived. The way I put it, the history's largest, most destructive fiat Ponzi scheme, which started in 1971, 1944, you picked the date, it peaked at the turn of the century with the dot-com bubble and permanently broke in 2008. And since then, it's all downhill. And I would unequivocally say that today, as we speak, I don't care what data gets published, what fake soft data or whatever. This is unequivocally to me the worst economic situation the world has faced ever, I should say, in modern time. I'm not talking about prehistoric time. I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
And certainly the debt issues are the same. The currency, the average purchasing power of currencies has never been lower ever. And it's only going to go lower. And that's why if you can get your hands on ways of preserving value, like gold and silver, especially here in the States where the prices are so suppressed, I mean, how could you not even consider something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where the prices are depressed and the dollar is basically subsidized effectively.
Yeah, prices the dollar is right now. Because again, and this is coming from someone who for years has said the dollar index, not the dollar's purchasing power, mm-hmm. the dollar's purchasing power against other fiat toilet paper will explode higher. I've said it for years. I've been dead on right. And I'm telling you, look where the dollar index is now. It's at multi-year highs and we're not even in quota crisis. This is the biggest stock jump in history. Everyone's excited about how great this Trumpflation is. And yet. The dollar has still been going to all these highs against all these other currencies. We haven't even had a crisis. I'm telling you, when that crisis hits, maybe it's March 15th, maybe it's sooner, maybe it's a little later. You're going to see the dollar index blow through all time high levels, whatever they were, 120, 150, as all these currencies crash. And at the same time, you're going to see gold and silver explode higher as well. And they're going to eventually explode higher against the dollar because the purchasing power of all the currencies is going to crash. And last but not least of these toilet papers against real items of value will be the dollar because it's the top of the totem pole. And we haven't even, the time, you'll really know that this is about to happen when the Fed is forced by the first crisis. Again, haven't had a crisis, a real crisis. I mean, if you live in Europe or in Brazil or Venezuela or Turkey or the Middle East, you certainly are seeing crises. But once we see an actual crisis where the stock market falls a few percent and the economic data like unemployment reports start to go negative and Trump's plan in Congress isn't working and there's consternation and, oh, maybe the French vote in Marine Le Pen and the euro goes below parity and they talk about a Frexit. Then you're going to see the Fed join those currency wars again. Remember, Donald Trump himself said the dollar is too strong. And of course, it's too strong competitively. It's killing corporate America here. And by the way, it's pushing the Chinese ever closer to the cataclysmic financial big bang to end all big bangs that I predicted 2 years ago, the big devaluation. They've already done 15% devaluation, but they're going to do another 15 or 20%. And the higher that the dollar goes, the more likely that that announcement is to come, because they are, and people don't even realize how horrible things are in China, how much worse they're getting. And they have their 17th party Congress this fall where they have to change over the leadership. So I think, I mean, you talk about political and monetary revolution, it's all going to be centered on China sometime in the coming year, despite all of what's going on in Europe and what will be coming to America.
Yeah, coming to America, to a theater near you. And did you see, I just wanted to raise this, this is a tangential issue, but have you noticed that the Chinese are buying up Hollywood now? They're buying up all these studios, making investments there. Do you attach any significance to this?
Well, I didn't see that specifically, but I thought that they're not allowed. I mean, the Chinese capital controls are now cracking down on like all overseas M&A and A, because they're so scared, because the outflows have been so huge. The offshore yuan speculation that there's going to be a major devaluation. They're not letting money out of America. So unless it's the actual Chinese government itself, I'm not sure I saw that.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something I mentioned several years ago. It was in a newsletter. They were financing this humongous casino in the Bahamas over on in Nassau. And what I said was they would never make any money. They were ostensibly doing it for a local concern. But I said, what they're going to do is they're going to wind up foreclosing. And what better way to get money out of a country than when you've foreclosed on a money-losing entity? And to keep it going, you have to keep subsidizing. You have to keep putting money into it, good money after bad. Is there a better way to bring money out of a country than the money-losing entity? You can't allow the place to be boarded up, because then that's a real loss of face. And this is basically what's happened there, Andy. The whole thing failed because there weren't enough American gamblers, because everyone here is broke. Once the crash hit, we learned that gambling was actually a discretionary expenditure, that you didn't need to gamble as much as you used to. And then we learned that the Chinese don't really like to go being flown halfway around the world to a tropical climate to gamble. So the whole thing was just a big money laundering scam to get money out of China, in my opinion. Okay. In my opinion. And that's exactly what happened.
Oh, I don't. I think it's more in the opinion. We smoke this fire when it comes to Chinese, and it's always bad.
Yeah.
But the thing with them is, look, as much as America has led the destruction of the world through the Federal Reserve, and frankly, the world ceded them that in Bretton Woods, and even more so in 1971 when they allowed us to renege on the Bretton Woods Agreement, and because they all wanted to have their own fiat currency systems, so the politicians could run up all the debt and stay in office as long as possible. But the fact is, as bad as things are over here, and as bad as they're going to get, and as bad as the Federal Reserve is going to get when they launch QE4 and negative interest rates, it doesn't hold a candle to the destruction that the Chinese government has wrought on the world because of their communism, their stupidity. And, you know, this was all guided by the fact that they have a handful of people in charge trying to run a country of 1.5 billion people and trying to feed their mouths, and the propaganda. It's just off the charts, and the stupidity of their shadow banking system. And people don't realize they've tripled the national debt, if you include their state-owned enterprises, in like 10 years. From like $8 trillion to $25 trillion, building ghost cities and all kinds of money laundering schemes, and pegging the yuan to the dollar, which has just absolutely destroyed the world. And it's going to doubly destroy the world when they devalue it from that peg. And so, you know, that's why I wrote last year, I wrote this article called "The Most Dangerous Destabilizing Force on Earth." And it's not the Fed, it's the Chinese government. And that's why people, you have to watch what's going on there, especially because they say so much these days in their press of what they're going to do and what they're thinking of doing, the trade wars and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it is a disaster waiting to happen. Of course, 20 years from now, China is going to be the leading economic power in the world. But I don't really care about 20 years from now. I'm talking about right now, because there is an historic bubble that's crashing. And that's why it's so comical, doubly comical, when they talk about, oh, the Fed's going to raise rates. No, they're not. They raise rates, they just increase the prospect that China blows up and devalues their currency as well. And by the way, as for raising rates, you know, back in January 2014, right, when the Fed and Bernanke started first talking about, oh, we're going to taper and have an exit strategy. You can Google it. As if you're not a reader, if you're a reader of mine, you're well aware of it. I wrote an article January 2014 called 3.0% Enough Said. And I basically said that because the 10-year on the U.S. Treasury had gone up to 3% on all this hype about a Bernanke is going to taper an exit strategy and all that stuff. And I said, there's no way rates are going higher than here. Well, unless the bond vigilantes come out and destroy everything, which they ultimately will, because the economy cannot handle higher than 10% yield, 3% yield on the 10-year bond. They can't. Anything higher and everything collapses. And sure enough, that was the absolute top. I mean, within the week of that article, it was the top. And so 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago in middle January, I wrote 2.5% enough said. The 10-year had spiked to about 2.6 right after the election hype. And then it kind of was sitting around 2.5. And this is with the stock market rising and Trumpflation. Everything's going to be great. And rates are going to go up and the Fed's going to raise rates. And I wrote the 2.5% enough said. I said it's not going to go above 2.5% because it's going to destroy the economy. And again, it only took 3 years for 3.3% being the top to 2.5%. That's like a 20% drop. And it won't because, I mean, look at the refinancing and mortgage data that came out today. Anything related to interest rate sensitive businesses is getting crushed just by this tiny little increase in interest rates from the all-time low. And I'm telling you, anything above that level, it's already having a major impact. But if rates go higher now, let alone if the Fed is dumb enough to talk hawkishly when the economy's falling apart and they know very well that interest rate sensitive businesses are getting destroyed, everything will crash instantaneously. And by the way, the dollar will go up and the Chinese will devalue the yuan instantaneously as well. So again, that's what I mean, Ides of March. It's going to hit soon, whether it's one of those specific events or all these other events that I'm talking about that are all coming together around that same time. Something's going to give. And again, we're talking about the most overbought stock market since the top of the tech bubble. And that was basically, I mean, it was it was fraudulent, but it was theoretically the best economic and political time in the history of the United States compared to probably the worst today. So as I wrote yesterday, the title of my article, what could possibly go wrong?
I can't imagine. And we're going to find out more next week or the week after or the week after that, but we'll leave it at that. Hey, check out Andy's work over at milesfranklin.com. Sign up for his daily missive and frequent audio blogs. Check us out at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletter and any questions, comments, etc. on this show or others, kl@carrielutz.com. That's kl@carrielutz.com. Check out our Facebook page at Financial Survival Network. And by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, on iTunes, you can subscribe to this show. Just go over to the iTunes store, Google it, and type in Carrie Lutz or Financial Survival Network. Click the subscribe button. Every show automatically gets sent to you. Andy, next week, and I have a feeling as we get closer to the Ides of March, we'll have even more to discuss. But till then, be well.
You too.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.